This is Perry L. Duff coming at you live from the Hustler's Corner, New York City. This is part two of our Victim of the System series with Jeffrey Deskovic, a man who at 16 years of age was sentenced to 16 years behind bars for a crime he did not commit. This is the conclusion of his story with us in this series. If you like what you hear and you like the story, please share, comment, and subscribe on our YouTube channel, which is The Hustler's Corner, New York City. Thank you for coming. And now a moment for our sponsor.
By the time it was all said and done, I was curled up into a fetal position, crying uncontrollably. Obviously, I was arrested. I was charged with a murder and rape. I just want to add that this interrogation like this that went on for 6.5 to 7 hours, I was not video recorded. There was no audio recording. There was no signed confession. It was just the cop's word for it. So later on, when we went to court, they left the threat and false promise out of their testimony.
In other words, they forced a confession out of you.
Yes.
Are you serious? They forced a confession out of you.
Yes. I was 16 years old. They drove me across county lines. They deprived me of food, and they engaged in a lot of scare tactics, including, you know, a threat and false promise, the latter of two things which are illegal. And yes, they forced a confession out of me. Yes. I know that most people don't think that an innocent person would ever confess to something that you didn't do, but it's actually been the cause of wrongful convictions in 25% of the DNA proven wrongful convictions in that particular.
Whoa, wait a minute. Well, 25% of wrongful convictions is out of forced confessions?
Yes.
Holy.
Mr. Jeffrey, after all of this had happened, have your family tried to sue?
Well, I did. That's later on in the story. But yes, I did. Mm-hmm. I was able to win as well. I was able to prevail.
Okay. What happened after that? Tell us what happened next.
Yeah, so what happened next was the results of a DNA test came in from the FBI lab, which showed that semen found in the victim didn't match me. But instead of acknowledging they made a mistake, they instead continued to prosecute full speed ahead. That's where the prosecutor got the medical examiner to commit fraud.
What?
Yes.
Whoa. Wow. Hold up. He got the medical examiner to commit fraud?
Yes.
How the hell did he do that?
If you're the prosecutor, you know, I've got this negative DNA test result, and so now he's got to figure out, like, what can he do to answer that so that the case doesn't just get dismissed and or that I don't get acquitted. So when there's an autopsy done, they make their written and audio notes as they're making their findings when they're working with the body. So it was only 6 months after doing the autopsy, only after the DNA didn't match me, that this medical examiner suddenly claimed that he had forgot to document medical evidence showing that he claimed would show the victim had been sexually active, which is what allowed the prosecutor to argue that the semen found the victim could have come from consensual sex. You know, not that that proved that I was innocent. Then he took it a step further and named another youth by name that he claimed that had slept with the victim and whose semen he said it was, but he never had a DNA test performed in order to prove that. He didn't even call him as a witness. He just made the unsupported argument to the jury.
Wow.
The thing that gets me about all of this is that the real perp gets away.
Yes.
I don't understand. Why would they force a crime upon you that you didn't commit instead of going after the guy that actually did it? This is what gets me. I mean, you tell me, what's your take on that?
Well, there was a lot of public pressure on them to make an arrest, you know, and they picked me. I mean, what can I don't have an explanation for it. It doesn't make any sense because it did ultimately cost the second person, you know, her life. You're right about that, you know, and it left an actual criminal free in the community. So it really didn't make anybody safe. But I want to get to the failings of my public defender. So first of all, I had a public defender because I didn't, you know, neither I nor my family had any money to hire an attorney. I mean, the attorney wanted $50,000 as a retainer. That was out of the question. Here are the ways where my lawyer failed me. So he never interviewed or called as a witness my alibi. I was actually playing wiffle ball when the crime happened. He never cross-examined this medical examiner who committed this fraud. He just said, he told him in court that you're going to be pleased to know that I don't have a single question for you. My lawyer very rarely met with me. Whenever he would meet with me, I tried to explain to him that I was innocent of what happened in the interrogation room, but he was always shutting me up. One time he told me he didn't care if I was guilty or innocent. My lawyer should have never represented me because of a conflict of interest. This other youth that the prosecution was falsely claiming had slept with the victim was represented by another member from the Westchester County Legal Aid, and not just by any lawyer, but by the lawyer who was supposed to be supervising him on my case. So that conflict prevented the defense from calling him as a witness. It prevented the defense from asking him for a DNA sample so that we could explode the whole consensual sex theory. When I hadn't decided if I was going to have a bench trial, which is decided by a judge or a jury trial, my lawyer came to me one day and told me that the judge came to him off the record and told him to pick a jury because he didn't want to be responsible for finding me not guilty. My lawyer was supposed to put that on the record and ask him to recuse himself because, number one, it's not proper for him to limit my decision that way. Number two, that suggests bias. And number three, it also suggests that he's feeling some public pressure. You know, every time I meet a court appearance, it was a big media moment with all the coverage from a guilt presumptive oriented perspective, but he's supposed to be the judge. He's supposed to be above that. He's supposed to be neutral. I wanted to testify at that pre-trial hearing because the cops had left the threat and false promise out of their testimony. So I wanted to tell the judge about those two facts, but my lawyer wouldn't allow me to. He said he hadn't decided if I was going to testify at the trial or not, and he didn't want to have had me testify prior to that. He said that nobody ever tells the same story exactly the same way, and that if there was any difference, then the prosecutor could make it appear as if I was lying, even if I was not.
This is Perry L. Duff coming at you live from the Hustler's Corner, New York City, saying thank you for taking the time out of your day to come and join us. This concludes this particular session of the Hustler's Corner, New York City. Check out our Hustler's Corner, New York City YouTube channel, where you can see more interviews on powerful topics that have a very powerful effect on the African-American community. And if you, once again, are incarcerated or a person who has been wrongly incarcerated for a crime they didn't commit, if you have a Black-owned business, if you are active in the community, in nonprofit organizations, if you are an artist or a musician or a rap artist or a vocalist, come share your story on the Hustler's Corner, New York City. Bring your books, bring your music, bring your business, or we'll give them all a shout out. And you can reach us at the Hustler's Corner New York City Facebook group and on Facebook at the Hustler's Corner New York City page. You can also reach us at 347-422-7971. That's 347-422-7971. Once again, thank you for joining us. And as always, don't forget, leave a comment, like, share, and subscribe. Peace. This concludes part two of our Victim of the System series with Jeffrey Deskovic. If you enjoy this podcast and enjoy the show, please show your love. Share, like, and subscribe to help keep us growing. And check out our YouTube channel by the same name, The Hustler's Corner, New York City. Thank you so much for stopping by and taking the time out of your busy day. Looking forward to you joining us again. Peace.